You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening around these Steelers in the division is good. But I will take a quiet dose of optimism here about the offensive line. And listen, these are baby step situations here. This isn't like watching the Detroit Lions play and going, oh, wow, that offensive line, that five-man unit literally controls the football game. It's the reason why they do what they do, why they're able to win. That's absolutely the case there. Sewell and all those guys are awesome. I mean, that is still an exceptionally fun team to watch even after they had both their coordinators leave. They played one kind of yakker of a football game this year and then have gotten right back on the horse. Green Bay made them look bad. They fixed some things and boom, they're back. Their offensive line, like I said, is a huge reason why they are good every year. They have invested a lot in it. They've got really good coaching. Hank Fraley, who the Steelers could have hired, not that I'm jealous of that. And they're awesome. Steelers were grading on a different scale. It's like if you're a teacher, the kid who always gets A pluses, you expect it. The kid who's trying his hardest and still messing things up, if they get like a B, you're very happy for them. Pat Meyer is, of course, not Hank Fraley. He happens to be the guy who is actually coaching this offensive line that did, I think, inarguably play their best game against the Vikings. It's a defensive front that could throw a lot at you. They had an ugly, first play of the game, Donnie? I think Rodgers went down on a sack. He got slingshotted to the ground on a different play. Other than that, I thought they did pretty well. And I thought they were doing well in run blocking. And I thought that the Steelers' game plan insulated these guys. And I thought I saw, like, the very faintest whiffs of real positive development from them. Broderick Jones covered up an Aaron Rodgers fumble and took it like he was running like a tight end out there. There was some heads-up play by these guys. They opened holes for Kenneth Gainwell. It was good. The Steelers ran the ball like a team that's accustomed to running it well. Pat Meyer, since this isn't a Mike Tomlin week, he is available, however. And this is what the Steelers' offensive line coach, we'll get a couple of his clips in here, what he's had to say about his group. We'll start with this. I think Broderick Jones, for obvious reasons, is under the biggest microscope or the brightest light of anybody on this offensive line, and this is what Pat Meyer had to say about Jones's progress through four games in his first real chance to be the starting left tackle.
Yep. Just the way, again, the way he practices and approaches it, that's, you know, for, you know, can't really call him young. He still is young, but you don't say, you know, he's year three. You know, it's his growth time, and he's done that. He's still got a ways to go, but we're going to continue to work it every week, where it's like it's not just what we see on Sunday for the 3 hours. It's what happens on Monday in the classroom, or what happens on when we practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's the approach of practice. When he approaches practice the right way and does the things the right way, then typically it's there's carryover to the game. So yes, we're gonna. I expect him to improve each and every week.
See, I take some good and bad there. I mean, obviously he's coming off, I think, his steadiest game. Like I said, the one time you saw hit, there was a blow by on the left side of the line for a sack, I really did not think it was him. I thought Seumalo missed an assignment there. But when you hear Pat Meyer stressing two things, his youth and the work he does during the week, it still kind of, it not gives away the game, but it lays bare what they are still trying to get from him, which is like a high level of detail and focus outside of the 60 minutes where he appears always, as I have said a million times, very engaged in the process. Even if it's not perfect, he's the first guy picking up people off the ground. He's running after the play when Rodgers fumbles, so he's in the right place, right time. It's obvious to me that even though they've probably seen a little bit of improvement, Don, I think it's pretty clear that they are waiting to see a lot more from him. That has to also, I'm willing to say this too, because Fautanu, would you agree, is also coming off probably his best game, but hasn't been very good. Like, he's been almost as bad as Jones, just not as much scrutiny.
Like, yeah, really. I mean, he's also earlier on in the whole process, so I think
although
that
he's older
buy
than,
him some
league. Although
yeah,
he's older
I know,
than Jones.
I know, but I think him not being in the league as long has
sure.
brought him some leeway.
Well, I think one of the reasons why, part of the reason why, and it's not just media attention that Broderick gets or whatever, part of the reason why you're not hearing as much about Fautanu scuffling, I'm willing to bet that they don't have to tell Fautanu very often, like, hey, you got to focus in the team meeting here. Like, it just, I think the personalities are two completely different things with those two guys. And I think that that just remains a remains an issue for Jones and is something that they're going to probably have to monitor constantly. Let's get Urban. Urban Meyer, yes. Let's get Urban Meyer talking about retiring or being photographed at a bar with a woman, not his wife, sitting in his lap. No, let's get Pat Meyer talking about the actual game overall that this offensive line played over in Dublin against the Vikings.
Yes, obviously it's a collective group. It's everything. It's the line, it's the backs, it's the tight ends, it's the wideouts. You know, we were just, you know, a little, we were gelling more as an offense in what terms of that.
That was the question, was just, is this the best game you saw your team play? I think that was obvious. And part of it's got to be mentality, too, I would think. I mean, I think it's easier to block as an offensive line when you have Darnell Washington in there, when you're bringing Spencer Anderson in, when you're just saying, okay, we have struggled to block with our main five frequently. How about we just put extra huge people out there and see if that does the trick? And I mean, it did. You can't live off that forever. But if your play caller is creative enough, and I think in this case, Arthur Smith is, as far as like how to work those big sets, then why not keep going with it until somebody stops it?
Yeah, and he has another answer in there about like the big personnel they brought into the game. But I mean, that is what I loved so much about their game plan. It didn't waver after the news of Jaylen Warren being out. Like, that didn't dictate to us that, hey, they aren't going to run the football as much. They went in there with Kenneth Gainwell, and they said, you know what, we're going to load things up. We have Spencer Anderson coming into the game. We're going to play Darnell Washington almost 50 snaps, and they just took it right to the Vikings defense.
How many did they go any, like, crazy 23 personnel, two backs, three tight ends? They kind of de facto did, where they would maybe have more like a weird hybrid, an extra lineman, two tight ends, one receiver maybe, Skoranek, who basically was just functioning as a blocker, and then kind of an H-back. I mean, they went with some big boy.
I'm trying to think back to their tush push with the personnel.
I mean, they definitely went kind of and just said, here's the beef. Can you stop it? This is Pat Meyer on using such big personnel with such regularity, which resulted in guys like Pat Freiermuth almost not really playing in this game against the Vikes.
You know, we saw something with that team that we're like, you know, we can go heavier and do that and, you know, build off of that. You know, we have a heavy tight end as it is, you know, on our team right now anyway, so he's bigger than most of the linemen. But that was just something that we just, you know, when we continue to do it, I don't know, we'll talk about that as we go down. You know, we won't do it. Can't say we won't do it every week, or we will.
Right.
But you know, we'll just have to look at it. You know, Cleveland's the next game, and then Cincinnati, and then you know, you move on.
I mean, I'm going to give Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith a lot of credit collectively. Tomlin for being obviously part of that process, but Smith for designing it up once they decided to go this route at actually saying, okay, we're going to go in this showcase game, and we're going to kind of play ugly football a little bit on purpose. Man, I think Cleveland would be a hell of a test, though, of this theorem that you might have found something by going extra heavy, because they have stopped most teams from running the football on them this year. That is a rush defense that is not afraid of anybody. Mike Florio said last hour when he was talking about the game they played against the Ravens that even though it was a 24-point margin, it wasn't really that lopsided. Their defense has given up in consecutive games this year, starting with the opener, 46, 45, 81, and 109 yards rushing. That's it. The 109 was to Detroit, a team that desperately wants to run the football on you for everything they're worth. Jahmyr Gibbs got 91 yards, and he had a good average in that game, Dom, but they didn't do much of anything else. Like, I think they got some speed stuff going. Like, running with, like, Montgomery as a hammer, nothing. 1 yard to carry.
That's why I kind of wonder how they will go about things going into the game. And I know that Meyer said in one of his answers that, you know, each game is a little bit different.
Cleveland's the number one total defense in the entire league right now. Do you realize that? Total defense, total yardage.
I knew the run defense was great.
Look at these splits. They are 24th in points allowed and first in total defense. That's like a Steelers reversal here, basically. That's a test, man. No one's even gotten 300 yards on them this year. Starting to wonder if I should have walked back the, they'll beat Cleveland. Cleveland sucks.
The Steelers tend to master games where they don't get 300 yards and still win.
I mean, I think in a weird way, even though we're all counting it as Dylan Gabriel's playing, they're going to win the football game. Even if him looking good against the Vikings would throw a wrench into that. The more I think about it, the more that feels like a measuring stick for their offensive line at bare minimum. Coming off a bye week, feeling good about themselves. Like, it's big boy football against that defensive front.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly what people it's outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
PM team, solo Mulsey today. Pony, I think, has to be wearing a Tigers hat right now because the Guardians for them have scored like a season's worth of runs in this game, six. And they are cruising to what looks like is going to be a pretty easy, ultimately, win to force a third game in the NL wildcard game against the Tigers. A reminder, hey, 93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@93.7thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact information, and potential dates. Details, 93.7thefan.com. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. Out to the hotline we go to welcome in, of course, CBS Sports Sideline reporter Aditi Kinkawala, who is very familiar with the entirety of the AFC North, a division that appears to be crumbling as if in a disaster movie around the Steelers, which is a good thing in this particular instance. Aditi is on the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Aditi, Donnie alerted this to me. I didn't see Adam Schefter's tweet. Now, Shedeur Sanders, who is not the Browns' new starting quarterback, that would be Dylan Gabriel, reacted with a smiling mime routine where he mouthed words but didn't say anything when he was asked about it?
That's apparently the same video that I saw.
What the hell is going on up there? I'll just start you with that very broad question.
I will tell you this. Another AFC coach sent me that video. That's how I know it. And said, seriously, what is going on? And then I forwarded that video to my preseason crew, which is, of course, Chris Rose and Joe Thomas. And Chris said, Joe, complete this sentence. If you had a teammate who did this, what would happen? And our producer actually said he'd be traded to the Jets. Joe hasn't responded yet, but
it's a very strange situation developing there.
Let's start with this, though, okay? Shedeur Sanders hasn't done enough to be the backup. So there's not
he's QB3
controversy
for people.
Or scandal there.
Right, he's QB3. People who didn't pay close attention said, might be surprised to find out. Flacco has merely been demoted to backup, not third string.
Correct. And also, to be very fair, this Browns offense has turned the ball over a bit too much and hasn't been nearly as explosive as they want. But that's not all entirely on Joe Flacco. It's never only on the quarterback. But at some point, we knew that we were going to see these young quarterbacks. Owner Jimmy Haslam said that during training camp. Now, the only way that we perhaps wouldn't have seen them is if Joe Flacco had engineered another 14-3 season. But then maybe we'd even see them in mop-up time in some games if that existed. But you were going to need to see at least Dylan Gabriel because the Browns believed in him so much. Kevin Stefanski is a huge fan of his. This is going to happen at some point. And I think this is one of those, can a new quarterback give us a bit of a spark, perhaps change up a little something, and you owe it to that defense, which is indeed playing lights out defense, to do everything you can to try to improve the offense.
How?
I will say, in all of this, though, by the way,
yes,
if Kenny Pickett hadn't hurt his hamstring during training camp, Kenny Pickett would be the starting quarterback right now of the Browns.
Instead, he is on the Raiders, where I saw his name mentioned again in trade rumors, Aditi. Somebody on The Athletic one of those, are quarterbacks going to get moved? And I think they meant more like Jameis or Kirk Cousins or even Russell Wilson, obviously, like some of those guys. And the person said, well, Kenny Pickett, and I forget what other, it was another like journeyman quarterback who was mentioned, that won't move the needle. It would just hurt Kenny Pickett's real estate portfolio. And I just thought, that almost feels like it would be a trade made for the sake of making a trade. I blindsided me when I read it in one of those notes pieces.
Let me tell you this. So when we have production meetings, it is sort of by nature, just in case, checking a box at the very end that you asked either the head coach or the offensive coordinator about the backup quarterback, just in case, in the worst case scenario, the backup quarterback gets in. And when we had the Raiders week one, Chip Kelly said to us, and remember, Kenny Pickett had been there for not even a week at that point. He said, look, I love him already, but I told him, I love you. I hope I don't have to play you. And that's because he had been there for about 5 days. Well, this time we asked about him and Chip Kelly could not stop raving. He said he loves how competitive he is, the looks that he's giving the defense every single day, how he clearly gets off on challenging the defense, that he's really athletic and really sudden, and that although it's very obvious that he can run, it's not like he's just looking to run. He's always still looking to throw, even when he's running. And I think his exact quote to us, in fact, was, "We'd feel good if he had to play." And then he said he was really excited about Kenny's future. So I don't know. Like, again, we're going to keep going through this, and everyone always says that I'm an apologist in some way.
I have non-Kenny takes.
New Orleans right now. Yeah,
I have non-Kenny questions for you. I actually don't want to bog down on Pickett's situation, because my next question about Gabriel was going to be, based on what you've seen from the Browns offense, Judkins has looked pretty good since he finally, you know, joined the actual football team. How well set up for success is Dylan Gabriel based on what is around him offensively, in your opinion?
I mean, you need to get more out of the people that are ostensibly your playmakers, right? Out of Njoku, out of Judy. You have to build some rhythm on that offense. Being able to run the ball effectively is a big piece of that. I can tell you, in the preseason, when we watched Gabriel, it was very obvious that he makes a mistake and he fixes it immediately. He is absolutely the elite student in the classroom that you always hear about. He makes very good, quick decisions. He gets rid of the ball fast. He does have the ability to move and make a throw. I think that if he were, this seems like one of those silly things to say, but if he were a couple inches shorter, a couple inches taller,
he would have been a first round pick.
It's very possible, yeah. I mean, look at how seasoned he is. Look at how many yards and touchdowns he threw for in college. And I know it was many years, but still. Mm-hmm. Again, he gets knocked constantly for his height. It's something that he has dealt with, however, his entire career, and has done his best to try to figure out. So some guys can't figure it out, and we're still waiting to see if Kyler Murray and Bryce Young can ameliorate their height. Drew Brees never had an issue with it. Mm-hmm. So let's see. That defense is really, really good. They are not getting takeaways at the rate that the Steelers are. And that's when your offense needs help. There's the same thing on the flip that you were saying about the Bengals within the last half an hour or so.
Yep.
When your offense needs help, it's not enough to have a great defense. You need a defense that gets the ball, too. You need a defense that helps score, also. And so just like you were saying with the Bengals, that with their defense, you know that you need to score 30 a game. Well, the Browns' defense knows that with this offense, as it is right now, it's not enough to keep the opponent under 20. You also need to generate some scoring yourself.
Didi, I'll move quickly to the Bengals because I want to get to the Ravens, too. They're the team everyone wants to hear more about, just given their current injury situation all across the board. But are the Bengals already dead and buried? I only ask that in that blunt of a way because I watched that Denver game, and they looked like a team that had had the wind not just literally like taken out of their sails because of the Burrow injury, but figuratively it just looked like they were mentally not there for that. I know Denver's really good defensively, but that was like a no-show performance, I thought.
Well, I mean, Denver's defense can do that to you, but you have to think that they are in the market for another quarterback.
I'd go for Jameis immediately if I were them. I would be asking the Giants, what does it cost to get Jameis Winston off your hands? Because that's the guy I would try to bring in.
I mean, I don't know. I think that Andy Dalton is a name that's been thrown around out there. Jameis giveth and Jameis taketh. You know, do you have a defense that can sustain the, what's the line with Jameis that I gave you last year? Jameis helps both teams score.
Jameis is the most exciting quarterback in the league. You're going to see touchdowns, whether it's the right team catching them or the team he's not trying to throw to.
Exactly.
33 touchdowns and 30 picks in 1 year is my favorite season by a quarterback in NFL history. I mean, it's not close. I would take him, though, for like, if you're saying, hey, he can throw to Chase and he can throw to Higgins, and he can take some of the stress off Chase Brown.
You need someone that can push the ball downfield.
Yeah, exactly.
You need someone that can push the ball downfield. You need someone who's still got that arm. So I don't think that they're standing pat, but I mean, I said this on CBS earlier today. You didn't, with what's going on right now in the division, you sort of feel like just because the Steelers are always playing close, just because of the way the Steelers are constructed, mm-hmm. right now, the Steelers are in the driver's seat. And I'm not, I know you brought up the Ravens. It's still way too early to write off the Ravens. We're only a quarter of the way into the season.
I understand that, Aditi.
The injuries are alarming.
They have,
okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I understand and I agree. They just played the hardest four games of their schedule. I mean, I think you could tell me today Lions Bills is the Super Bowl, and I'd be like, that's a pretty reasonable opinion. The Chiefs got healthy,
yes,
or got right against them, which I think is the most alarming of those three losses, because Kansas City didn't look good at all on offense until that game.
Well, I think Lamar has been hurt. I don't think Lamar just got hurt in that game. Don't you feel like as you've been watching him, there's been a little bit of the dynamism missing?
Yes, which, well, that doesn't help them, because here's my thought, and tell me if this makes sense to you. Steelers have two winnable games. I know the Browns' defense is really good, so the Steelers have to be on their P's and Q's. The Bengals, as of right now, though, do not look like they have what it takes, even in their building on a short week. If the Steelers handle their business, big if, they're 5-1. The Ravens, I think, this was my thought to Pony yesterday, rest Jackson for Houston, for obviously you know he's not playing. Rest him for the Rams, because you'd rather get two games off, even if you lose them both, and then a bye week to hopefully get him physically right. And then you just try to put the gas pedal down and hope that he, healthy, is enough to carry you to an insane run. That's how I would handle it.
Well, and they recognize for sure that this is about the long haul and that it is indeed a long season. And remember, a year ago, the defense was very rough early in the year. Dean Pease came in, helped write things, helped a young defensive coordinator in Zach Orr, and the defense got itself going. Roquan Smith being hurt is a really big deal. That's sort of the engine that makes things go. So you're right. I don't think the Ravens are smart enough not to rush Lamar Jackson back. They are better off having Lamar Jackson healthy and not having him be a shell of himself and potentially aggravate things. So I had the Texans, not last week, but the week before, and they are a team that, this is the National Football League. There are no guarantee games. There's no one that you will call a cakewalk, but the Texans are not nearly as challenging as the Lions or the Bills are. So you would like to think that Derrick Henry can hold on to the football and help drive the ship that day. I used that same cliche twice. That's awful.
I
said the engine that makes things go, right?
No, it's all right. Yeah, ships have engines, but I think it's different enough for our listeners. quickly, this last one, and I know I'm kind of saying quickly here about something that might be expansive, but I think you heard me go off about Mike Tomlin's last 5 minutes against the Vikings. He's got, as some people I've seen have called it, like the coaching voodoo, where he just gets the best out of his team, followed by some of the more head-scratching, I think that's me being nice, in-game decisions that a coach could make in the NFL. How do you feel about, I guess, him and them, the way that game played out, where it was 55 very well-coached minutes, followed by five where he put a blindfold on and threw darts at a board to make his decisions, it seemed like?
I think if it were anybody else, I would find it a little bit alarming because, so number one, winning in the National Football League is hard. I know you hear that every single week, but as somebody who stands on the sidelines every single weekend, the cliche about it's a fine line between winning and losing is totally, completely true. Sometimes it's just one play that makes a difference in a game. So a win is a win is a win. You should be excited off of a win, and getting a win, however you grind it out, however you get it, it's still a win. There are no style points. This is not the BCS. No style points. So I say that. Another coach, you might find this alarming that, wow, I don't know about this in-game decision-making, or whoa, you made that a little bit more dicey than you really needed to, or that game management wasn't that great. Mike Tomlin never seems to get in trouble for any of this. I said this on CBS today. I think the line I used is that no matter what Mike Tomlin does to seemingly put a game in doubt, the football gods won't let him lose. So, like, it's okay. If it's a young coach that is making those decisions, if it's Brian Callahan, who can't ever seem to make anything go his way, then yes, all of those things go under a huge magnifying glass. But, like, this has been Mike Tomlin for however long we've known him. And has it really harmed him? So you take the good with the bad.
Aditi, we've got to run.
Okay, celebrate the win. Malzi, don't have angst after a win. Have angst for after a loss. That's right. What I would say to you.
No, me and angst are good friends. Thank you, Aditi.
Bye, Malzi.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for the Don E. Debrief, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Don, everybody knows what this is, so take it away.
The Debrief, October 1, 2025. You talked about it there with Aditi. We have brought it up earlier today. The Browns have named Dylan Gabriel their starting quarterback. He will be the 41st starting quarterback for the Browns since 1999, Malzi. 41 guys have started games for the Cleveland Browns.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I do.
Do you want to see how many do you want me to try to pull a pony stunt here and just see how many I can name?
Sure.
All right. Just start rattling them off here. Ty Detmer, Tim Couch,
yep.
Charlie Fry, Spurgeon Winn. I'll count Flacco, obviously. I'll count Dylan Gabriel because he's about to do it. Derek Anderson, Kelly Holcomb, Deshaun Kizer, Brady Quinn. There was a name. Oh, Johnny Manziel, of course. Who could forget his legendary time at the helm? There was a very funny name that popped into my head, which was why I wanted to do this even in the first place, and now this one's eluding me. Hold on. I got to look and think back to some of those really futile years here. Who are some of the recent ones? Kizer? I don't know why Kizer got, like, stuck, and as soon as I said that one, I, like, crapped out on it. Bruce Gradkowski started a game for them? No. Yeah,
yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. Jeff Garcia?
Yep, Garcia was there for...
He was there for a while.
Yeah.
He was there for more than a minute. I already said Charlie Fry. That's one of the ones I always think of. Colt McCoy, he got knocked unconscious by James Harrison, basically. Did they ever actually just, like, let Josh Cribbs start a game as a Wildcat quarterback? That would have been a fun one to add to
the list. I do not see Cribbs' name.
What was the name? There was a name where I was like, look at me. I'm going to be very impressive here and say this one particular name.
I don't think you've said like the one consistent guy they've had somewhat recently.
Oh, Baker.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, not Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
Tyrod Taylor, Deshaun Watson. Who am I blanking on that they've had try to quarterback the team while Watson's been hurt? Hold on.
They had one, I'll tell you this, one guy cooked the Steelers in the Watson era that was not Watson.
Oh, no. Cooked the Steelers.
Sliced and diced them.
Not a big-time quarterback, though, right? I'll say Brian Hoyer to keep adding names to the log pile here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have.
Oh, Jameis diced him up. Yeah, Jameis diced
him up. Well, there was another one, too, that did it a couple of years prior.
To Jameis dicing him up in the snow?
Yeah, Jameis was last year, but a couple of years before that.
Say it, because I'm just
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Good call. How many have I named so far? How many have we crossed off? About 15 or 20?
Yeah, there's a good bit. I mean, you're probably close to half. Man, some of these names, it's incredible.
Isn't one of them, there's like a guy named Lee or something like that? What is this name? Give me some of the names, because I tried to do this, and I had a name in my head that I knew started for them that was going to make you laugh that I was remembering, well, and now I can't remember
it. Just in the last two seasons alone, it's been pretty laughable. So Deshaun Watson has gotten, you know, a handful of starts.
Sure.
So 2023, it was Watson for 6 games, Flacco for 5, Dorian Thompson-Robinson
for 3.
Oh, I
forgot DTR. What a legend.
PJ Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Driscoll for a game.
Who could forget?
Last year, Jameis 7, Deshaun Watson 7, DTR 2, Bailey Zappi.
The Zoop Man. Keep it going.
So, and that was just the last two seasons.
So you've really racked a ton right there.
Yeah, and then Case Keenum a couple of games in 21. Nick Mullins for a game.
Oh, my God,
how
dude.
Could you forget Kevin Hogan for one game in 2017?
He's a name that I always bring up in this little game, though, because I do remember him.
Cody Kessler, Josh
USC
Tears
product.
Of McCown.
Oh.
Daylight come and you got a DeLome. Jake DeLome back in 2010. Seneca Wallace. Thad Lewis.
Maybe Thad Lewis was the name. There's a name that I'm blanking on that I know. When you said this, I was like, Ken Dorsey was the name that I was impressed with myself that it popped into my head.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey started 3 games
in 08. Austin Davis. Connor Shaw. Man, you know what? Bruce is getting done dirty. Although they're going by specifically how did he play in that one game, not what was his career like. He was ranked by CBS Sports as the 39th best out of 40 starting quarterbacks for the Browns.
He only played one game.
5 of 16, 18 yards, 2 interceptions, and a 31-0 loss. Spurgeon win, 48-0 loss, 5 of 16, 17 yards. Who else did we forget here?
Did you say Doug Peterson?
No, I didn't.
Brady Quinn?
I did say him. Did you say Luke McCown, too?
No, I didn't say Luke.
Luke McCown's in there,
Luke
brother.
Tears of McCown in 04.
Brandon Weeden, RG3. Jason Campbell got in there. God. Trent Dilfer, a Super Bowl champion. Man, this is disgusting stuff.
Who does that list? I mean, I assume Baker's number one.
He is.
Who do they have?
Anderson's 2, and he probably should be. Kelly Holcomb is 6.
I was
going to
say
6.
Holcomb should probably be in the top.
Holcomb's behind
top
Hoyer.
5.
I think Holcomb's got to be higher than Hoyer. Flacco's up there at 4th. Couch is 3rd. Couch probably is a classic. If that guy isn't drafted by a team that has literally nothing, he might have turned into a pretty good player. I mean, I honestly think if you get Tim Couch and he's not number one overall and he goes to a team with better infrastructure, mm-hmm. he probably has a pretty good career.
I always love this game.
I got out over my skis and thought I could name all of them, but when you hear like Austin Davis.
Have we done this for a name game yet?
No,
I mean,
but
this would
I mean,
be a good one. There's 41 names.
I think what we've got to do is wait a couple. When's the second Browns game? We can't do
it.
Oh,
it's not until like around Christmas.
We got to wait until this segment fades from your memory and my memory. And then, man, if somebody doesn't do that for us on Browns week and just say, name every Cleveland starting, there might be like 2 more by then. They might trade back to get Kenny Pickett again. And so let him start. I think we got to do it. I think you're right. God, what a sick, sick list this is. And they had a guy in Baker who I think is a top 8 or so quarterback, and they let him go willingly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.